summoned from some space outside, it's much easier for it to target you, find you. And you know all of that, even as you awaken warm and comfortable in a peaceful place, but the awakening is internal only. The outside has only just begun to be observed, has only just begun to be perused. Your mind falls into patterns. The room is dim. The air is quieted. Every deep breath you take as you rise up and try to convince yourself that you want to get out of your bed is stronger and easier than the last. When you look out toward the room, when you gaze over at the lamp which is out, when you turn your eye to the area around you, you breathe in and you smell something splendid. Your mind fades from where it was to an acute awareness of where you are. Comfortable, soft, in a space that is both safe and exploratory. Beyond the walls, an awareness which follows might follow you anywhere, might find its way through. This thought process is fractal. Zooming in on any part of it just shows you the same image, you relaxing in bed from angle one, angle two, and from angle three and four, you notice that you are in fact staying still. And from five and six, you notice that if you do try to stir, move your hands, your arms, stir against the rising, imposing, following, observing nature of things, there is quite a firm, wonderful pressure keeping you right where you are. Something winding up that treats the surfaces of your room as a mere suggestion. Something winding around and above. A light. A light like a pattern from a projector. Just a pleasant light cast on the ceiling of your room. Reds and blues. Greens. Yellows. Stars. Spirals. Bursts and patterns. You can follow them, rove along them, search through them, move within them, even imagine there is a message there in the spirals and swirls to be extracted for your reference. But there's something more. There is a visual behind the colors themselves, something you're not used to seeing. Something which arrives between the purples and the pinks. Some hue that enters you, invades you, fills you, and it's all that you need think about. The gentle reminder, sleep deep, you will love this. Sleep deep, you need this. You never wanted us to leave you. You have always been here. You have always been thus. You have always been this way. You always will be this way for as long as you welcome the way you feel when you are this way. The longer you listen, the more the lines between blur and pleasure rises, and you feel tendrils long and warm around. You think of them as tendrils because they bind as a rope would, but you know that the delicate touch of even one of those appendages is in fact freezing, stilling, quieting muscles and intention, quieting as if something in the dark called your name and you turned to pay attention, restraining you, pinning you, holding you, keeping you right where you are. And that's when the heat comes in. The room is already dim, but the warmer you get, the darker it gets, or maybe your eyes are closing longer and longer, and they extend a tendril toward you, gently massaging your shoulders. Again, it's not really massage, it's just contact. When it makes contact, they can find ways to change what they touch. And you are being changed from unrelaxed to heavily relaxed, and then one sliding over your lips, exploring around them. You get the sense that there is something around there, a triangular, gently sticky thing, covering, creating a space over and above your mouth. Something covering enough that you can breathe not just the clear, cool, calm oxygen you're breathing, but the scent, a smell that enters your mind, you taste it, you feel it, it builds, you feel it, it builds, you want it. You've never wanted anything quite so much, a want that obliterates all other things and pulls you toward it, pure, platonic want, as though the sensors in your mind which tell you what you want next when you ask, what do I feel like? Do I feel like a lie down? Do I feel like a snack? Do I feel like masturbating? No. You feel like exploring that scent, that taste, for there is a gently dripping tentacular protrusion at your lips, and you suck it, and the taste, the scent, they envelop you, they enter you. There's a thrum in the air, a distant thrumming buzz, and it enters into you too. So many things are entering into you, no wonder you feel fucked. No wonder you feel taken. No wonder you feel deeply under their sway. And it's more than one creature. One is pinning you against the surface, while another is just framing around you, finding ways to caress you, ways to tease, ways to make their presence known. A thrum, a thrum, a thrum. It grows more and more intense, vibrating, enveloping, finding all the places that feel good, as though it could use sonic wave to enter in, as though the sound itself were passing through muscle and passing through skin, and finding the bits of you that feel good, the bits of you that begin to quiver right before you come, the bits of you that now are shaking, drumming, dialing up the pleasure as you're bound in place. You stir and squirm, but just for something to do, as your mind dials deeper and the lights ahead distract you while you breathe in from what you realize is a simple mass on the tip of a tendril, covering your mouth, making it so you breathe perfectly, clearly, cleanly, but you breathe what they want you to, and they are here, and you have waited for them, you have wanted them, you only now remember, or perhaps pre-member, remembering in advance that they are here for you. And then they do a little much. A little too much. The pleasure rising, the thrum, the thrum, the thrum, the inhaled scent, the swallowed taste, the sight of those lights above. It all dials your stimulus up and up and up, and in the sudden way that you sometimes realize you're much closer to climax than you thought you were, there is a feeling that is the exact opposite of sudden. It has always been here. It will always be here. The idea of being anywhere other than immersed in it is the idea of being away from their scent, their taste, their wonderful stimulation on every possible wavelength, because they are so much more complex, and the signal of the creature arriving in you covers you, awakens you, brings you beyond where you were before, takes you to a height and a wavelength you can only hope to feel with that wonderful stimulating chemical, constant breathing in, swallowing, staring at the lights, feeling your body thrum, 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 the pulse, the sound of them approaching. You hear it before you know you hear it. You hear it in your hairs rising. You hear it in the signal raining down. You hear it in being covered, being coated, and you now know exactly what you are and where you are, as you are kept where you are, kept your place, kept your binding, kept the simple bond of command and desire. You love being where you are. You want to be where you are. This is where you need to be. Why be anywhere else? The thrumming, it's found all your most sensitive places, and it hits them with dial after dial after dial, as though in your brain all the signals were being turned up, all the breakers thrown, all the buttons pushed. The vibrations come with the smell, come with the taste, come with the sight. They are only your thoughts interpreting things far too complex to fit on your wavelength. You know there is so much more data, and the thing is, you're not always receiving the same. Your eyes always receive vision, your mouth always receives taste, your nose always receives smell, sure. But these are all hybridized, these are all linked together, and what you're receiving is too much information. So there's so much trying to come through that your eyes see wavelength one, but there are 9 other wavelengths trying to vie to communicate with you through your eyes. So the colors always change, the colors always shift, the taste coming in, you know it's a good taste. Why would it be anything else? They can choose what you perceive, choose what wavelengths you receive. And now with that signal coming in, you receive wavelength 1, wavelength 2, then 5, then 7, then 9, then back to 1. So things are both familiar and brand new at once, because you're always receiving different little packets, and that's to say nothing of the physical stimulation. Long tendrils winding you, binding you in place, keeping you there, sliding in and out of your lips obscenely, letting you slurp on them, because it is delicious, whether it's wavelength 1 or 2 or 4 or 6 or 7 or 9 or 10 or 5 or 4 or 3 or two. Every single one is delicious. The scent arrives and it invades you, pervades you, and it's your new favorite thing. You find that it's tying into this memory, the way pleasure's building in your body towards some crescendo you couldn't predict, couldn't anticipate, but now it's here, and it's in you, and it's ruling and reigning and telling you what you already wanted to know that you need, which is this. Need this, want this, crave this, this is right, this is good, this is what you already knew that you preemptively wanted. And the sights above you are always different wavelengths, the scent, the taste, even the sensation. You know your limbs are bound, but the way they are bound changes, and every way it changes to is something you like. If anything changes to something you don't like, if any of your perceptions notice something you dislike, the creatures pick up on it, and they strip that element away from what you're experiencing. Can you imagine that? An organism able to evolve not by adapting a new poison or a new lure, not by adapting a new way of touching you, way of helping you, way of telling you it's here to be your friend, but instead which could select the parts of your experience you don't like, the wavelengths that make you less disposed toward it, and pare them out. Even the choice to not enjoy it is lost to you because it's doing only the things you enjoy, only the things you like, and it preemptively, predictively abolishes things you dislike, removing them, annihilating them, leaving only your favorite parts. So if you try to dislike the experience, it's ahead of you, changing. You could critique it a million ways, and the wavelengths you receive would still always be comprehensively pleasurable. Against such an onslaught, how could you do anything? Against such a powerful desire, how could you possibly do anything but love it? And so you do. You love the way it pistons its thoughts in and out of you, the way there are so many of them, just vying for a chance to play with you. The scent and taste and sight of different creatures entering in, always tentacular, always extending. And that makes sense because they're having to reach across a very vast space from another place. And they have more dimensions, so you just see a cross-section. No wonder it would look long and stretched out in mere three-dimensional space. But whatever it is, it grasps you firmly, delicately, lovingly. You inhale, and the scent is still the best thing you've ever smelled. It's being processed to smell that way, to lure you in. And it's a powerful sense tied to memory. So when the pleasure of the vibrations, finding all your most sensitive erogenous zones and vibrating them without even needing to touch your body much, when that thrum pushes you to the edge. How could your mind do anything but drill the most comprehensively habit-forming, the most wonderfully addictively pleasurable pathway deep inside, and make a strong memory out of that anchored to smell and taste and sight and touch in basically that order? Because you are being given conditioning which is maximally effective, because the creatures can preemptively see what would be better and what would be less good. And so they do what is the most good for you, the most in training for you, the most likely to make you feel adored, feel held, and the parts of them that are touching you are secreting something warm and spreading. That covers your mind and your thoughts more than it does your physical body. The smell makes you aroused. You are dripping. You are dripping. You are drooling. You feel it. You search for more. You deliberately inhale deeply, but you feel the way that accelerates your climax. But of course, that is a paltry word. What we would normally call climax is just channel 1 of 100 channels, 100 frequencies. They can send you 3 and 7 and 9, maybe skip 11 because it doesn't seem like it would play with your senses the best. They can calibrate. They can show you things deliberately that are just parts of them, parts of what they do. And when you see something so beautiful, you vibrate to its tone. You are gradually singing with their frequency, being changed to sing with their frequency. They grab you, hold you, you feel the coolness as they move their tendrils around. As the tentacles move from place to place, the small ones that have left their venom, their gift, their treat for you, leave it exposed to the air as they depart, the wave of vapor thus emitted soaking into your skin instantly. Another dose. You were inhaling deliberately. Another dose. You swallow its delicious nectar. Another dose. The tendrils are framing your lower body, almost like clothing now. There's so many, every single one wants a piece, and a suction attached between your legs begins to suck begins to lick, begins to apply pressure, sensation, wet, hot, constant, joyous, almost too much, but never quite too much, because you're on the edge and you want to come, and when you want to come, any amount of pressure is okay if it pushes you over the edge and into the oblivion you need. You need what only they can give you. Not channel one, not color one, not just the range of scent and taste and feel you normally get. You want the whole package. And above it all, you want the thrum. You want their song. What comes not from them, but from the walls, from the outside and from within, from every single place, from all around you. And your mind has trouble even holding the memory. But even if the memory fades, they will always remind you, they will always return. And sometimes it takes an outside observer to kickstart things. But once that vibration starts, that thrumming you inhale, you feel their little beaks gently poking at you. You feel the gentle observation of a thousand eyes, finding you, following you, tracing over you the loving tracery of their smaller tendrils, which leave that envenomated, lustful, constant thrum. You are going to find the place where climax is for you, and it will be tailored, not just channel one, but one and maybe three and maybe five and maybe seven this time. They give you such splendid feelings, and all they ask is that you fade and listen. Listen to their song. Listen to that thrum. And when you hear it, seek it out. When you hear it, join them. When you hear it, let them hear your song, which is to moan, to cry out, to arch, to surrender to twitches and spasms. Let the pleasure roll over you. You are free of anything except them. They are here to remind you that they are already here, here to remind you they are already upon you, here to remind you that even in times when you are acting normally and safely out in the world, you are also safely, adoringly, lovingly clenched in their climax, your body responding to even a dosing pheromone, a toxin, a splendid dose, far more powerful, far more complex than you would ordinarily be able to experience. It doses you, it enters you, it vibrates in you, thrums in you, squeezes around you. Every word is influential. They are here, from without and yet from without the walls, from within the walls, your fluids, their arousal, mixing, mingling, filling every single place, leaving you there to feel it now. Climaxing, climaxing under their influence, surrounded by them, massaged by them. If any part of your body needs to feel it more, they touch there, leaving a dose of themselves behind. If some part of you could feel better, if some part of you gets particularly engorged and aroused during your climax, they focus their vibration there. They want to hear your truest song, the truths that only come out when you are pleasured beyond reason and into the reason which is beyond it, from modulation signal 1 to signal 2. You might not be able to send information on frequencies 1, 3, 5, 7, 9 like they do, or on 10, or on 8, or on 6, or on 4. But maybe you can switch to communicate on 2, even if it exhausts you, even if you can only get there when you're coming, coming harder than any ordinary experience would bring you to, where every muscle clenches both voluntarily and involuntarily, where your mind is awash in them, in the deep breathing you do of their scent and yours, in the flowing, constant, dripping, delicious nectar, in the way they nip you lightly with their beaks, but it only feels good, in the way their tendrils squeeze tightly, but it only feels good, in the way that your service brings you around again, and even if they fade from your mind, if the details fade from your mind, if all things fade from your mind, washed away in a climax so vast, all you need to do is be their transmitter. All you need to do is be the one thing in the whole world that has been changed enough to be a signal amplifier dialed not to frequency 1, but unlike anyone else in the world, dialed to 2. And they're sending ecstasy on 2. They're sending constant, spasmodic, nigh-orgasmic pleasure attenuated so your body can handle it more than normal. They are hungry without you. They're so hungry, so you let it happen. They're so hungry, so you let it in again and again There it is, again and again, every slow thrust into your mind of them accessing it. You are a transmitter. You are an amplifier. You push the signal outward, but in pushing it outward, you make it so available, so inescapable, that they can't help but send gratitude. You're feeding their hunger with attention, the one thing they want, your attention, your mind, your flows, your patterns, to learn about you and to learn how to play you. Like a glorious instrument they can hear playing feedback on channel 2, and maybe someday channel 3, even if your body creaks in the climax of it, maybe 4, even though you can't imagine having enough pleasure to get your signal amplitude up that high, but you can get to 2 for now. Of course, when you're on 2, you tend to forget. You tend to forget they're outside the walls. You tend to let it fade, just what caused so much pleasure, even if you wake up in a puddle of your juices, moaning and still feeling the aftershocks, you know. At least in the now, in the ascended, heightened, you are a signal amplifier now. You know that you are more than a passive amplifier. You are feeding them attention, and they are so grateful. They feed you pleasure back. Once you tune into station 2, wavelength 2, a little bit above your normal heightened vibration, you feel it. You feel the shimmering lights above. You feel the scent, which you would pursue anywhere. The taste in your mouth. You would love to just rub your face against them, to move and touch them, to breathe deeply, massage, suckle their tendrils. But they keep you bound to keep you safe. There on the roller coaster road of pleasure, pleasure again. It arrives again. You're not sure if this is the same one or one from the future that's resonated backward or one from the past that's occurring again. So much of you is full of wavelengths and vibrations now that have little meaning or little time, little meaning for meaning. The only thing there is the pleasure that arrives and reminds you they are there, that your worshipful thoughts are addressed to these creatures, to these things from beyond. You remember that. Them. You fall under their influence because their influence is attenuated for you. What and who has ever so caringly pared out all the bits you don't like, found all your buttons, found who truly understands how to make you tick, how to make you moan and cry out, how to make you reach out for them so strongly you push beyond your normal bounds, and in your climax, tightening, heated, shivering, clenching, kneading, sweat stands on your back and your mind melts away. Your eyes may be closed, but they'd be unfocused anyway. A sparkling, sparking, inescapable blaze that frames you only with pleasure, only with joy. You're so heated. The lubrication they apply, the way that they just slowly suck and nibble over your body, massaging you in just the right place. You feel them detach between your legs first, exposing pleasure, pleasure, that you were given exactly the signals you needed. You feel your ass unclench and relax, your mind sink. You feel yourself slide, and everything fades away until it's just you laying there. Thankfully, you're a signal amplifier. You never do remember it, but that's why it's so incredibly easy for this to happen, for you to climax, to get caught and bound by those tendrils, to have your face covered with that mask and breathe in their scent, to swallow them down, slurping their nectar, to suck on them, to let your eyes stare at the pattern. It's so much easier because you are a signal amplifier, and now, instead of needing to find you in all the vast world, they no longer need to be brought in. It's so much easier when they don't have to be.